Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. A'udzu billahi minasy syaithanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, arrahmanir rahim, maliki yaumiddin, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Shadaqallahul azim. Before we begin, we should make shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affords us these opportunities to sit in Allah's house and to try and understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kitab, the Quran Kareem. Nobody can make any claim that they have knowledge of the kitabullah, of the Quran Kareem, but whatever is said is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via wa nabiyya kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, via sahaba ikiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And let us make dua that whatever we hear, whatever we say, the reality of it first comes into our hearts, we are able to implement it in our lives, and above all, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keep us as students of the Quran Kareem, that we try right till the day we leave this world, we try and understand the kalam and the words of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Having said that, Surah Al-Fatiha that is being discussed today, like as the Mufti Saab had stated earlier on, that this is the Fatiha, the opening of the Quran Kareem, and inshallah, if time permits, at a later stage we'll discuss the various names of the surah. But one very important narration from Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayh has been recorded in the kitabs of hadith. Hassan al-Basri, we know, was a tabi'i, and many ulama say that his words were very close or very similar to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to say that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent down many revelations. The three revelations before the Quran that we all know, the Torah, the Zabur and the Injil. And then there were very many sahifas, many scriptures that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent down to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And the gross content of all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in this Quran, in the kitab of Allah. And if a person studies this Quran, then a person will have knowledge of all the previous revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then one step further, he says that the whole content of the Quran is contained in Surah Al-Fatiha. And whoever learns the tafsir and the meaning, and right now we will say also this is not tafsir, this is a very brief explanation of the surah, but whoever learns the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha is like one who has learned the tafsir of the Quran Kareem. So in other words, in terms of content, we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah has kept the synopsis of the whole Quran, and the Quran is a synopsis of all the revelations of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that came down to all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. And that is why we will endeavor to recite the surah, we will endeavor to learn the surah, to know the meaning of the surah, because of it having such a great and rich content that we cannot escape the fact that it is important in the life of each and every Muslim and mu'min. Then again, it is recited in every rakat of our salat. There are some ulama that took the trouble and said that if a person becomes baligh at roughly the age of 15 and from day on he read his namaz every day, and then he went to maktab and he learned the surah, and then also that person read the 5 daily salat, he read the taraweeh and he read all the others, up to 500,000 times in our lives we read the surah. So that is another very important aspect, that we're reading it and we're reading it, so we need to know the meaning of the surah. But before we come to Surah Al-Fatiha in itself, just a very brief overview of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim that is also importantly attached to the surah, and we should have some knowledge of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now when we look at Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, many ahadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam deliver the important message of his virtue. The virtue of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, very quickly, one radif of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radif is a person that sits behind you in the camel or the horse or whatever conveyance it may be. He narrates that he was behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the same animal, and the animal stumbled. Now normally when these things happen, when the car begins to jerk, then sometimes bad language, bad words come out from our mouth. And this person, he said that may shaitan be cursed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him that do not say may shaitan be cursed, because that will bring arrogance into shaitan. Then shaitan will begin to say that he had caused this animal to stumble. Rather you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And when you say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, now this is the important part of the hadith, that shaitan becomes like a fly. In other words, like how a fly is so insignificant, like how a fly is so weak, like how a fly is so small, it does not have any courage, might, it does not have any power whatsoever. Shaitan becomes absolutely powerless like that by just saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So when you have the car that jerks, when the car gets stuck, don't let these bad languages come out of our mouth, but rather at that time follow this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. At least this much is there, you will be able to overpower shaitan. Then we find in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that when Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim itself was being revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was a whole change in the actual atmosphere of this world. On the one hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the clouds had moved to the east, so to say that the clouds also made way for this Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, this ayah, to come down upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Secondly, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the seas, the oceans of this world began to ripple. In other words, in the fury of the waves was lost and everything began to ripple. The winds began to stop blowing. And then animals tried to listen and pay attention to this great revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was coming down. And then shayateen were being pelted from the skies. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a qasam. By the izzat, by the honor of Allah, by the jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that whoever recites Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim on whatever work he undertakes, Allah will fill that with barakah. So that is that barakah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in whatever we take the name of Allah when we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now whatever work it may be, provided it is permissible in the Shariat, whether it is a matter of deen, whether it is a matter of dunya, but with this yaqeen we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will put barakah in that. That is why there's one very famous hadith that whatever work of greatness, of importance we begin, and we do not say Bismillah, then that is void of the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates and he says that whoever says Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, then that person will be saved from the 19 Zabaniyah. Zabaniyah are the guards, the angels that is guarding over the fire of Jahannam. Alayha tis'ata ashar, 19, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, and he says that if we count Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we will find that there are 19 huruf, there are 19 letters in this Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. For each letter, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will safeguard us from those angels that are guarding the fire of Jahannam. In short, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will save us from the fire of Jahannam. Now 19 letters, part of the Quran Kareem, and if we read it, we normally get 10 rewards for each letter. So that would have been 190. But in one narration, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, whoever recites Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, that person gets 4,000 thawab. 4,000 of his sins are forgiven. And he is elevated 4,000 times in ranks closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is in actual fact a bonus from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there is one story with regards to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that in his khilafat, the Caesar used to suffer from headaches, the emperor of Rome. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wrote on a piece of paper, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, had it folded, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu put it into a hat, and he sent it to the Caesar, and he said that you must wear this. So whenever he put this hat on, then his headaches had disappeared. And when he would remove this hat, then that headache will begin. And then he began to open, undo that hat, And he found these words of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he had written, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So we find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has put abundant barakah in it. And very important of all is this, that we learn to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in whatever we are doing. This was the tariqah of Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam, that whatever Anbiya alayhimus salatu was salam had endeavored, whatever they started, whatever they began to do, they said Bismillah, they took the name of Allah. Look at Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, Bismillahi majreha wa mursaha. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu was salam, when he wrote the letter to Bilqis, innahu min Sulaiman wa innahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So this was the tariqah of Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. In the initial stages of the wahi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the initial stages of nubuwat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say bismikallahumma, bismika in your name, O Allah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped over there. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and hence Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So very briefly, those are some of the virtues of this Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And let us make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a reality in our lives, that whatever we do, so long as it is permissible, so whether it is deen, whether it is dunya, we learn to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we ourselves also and our children. And of course the ultimate should be for the sake of Allah. The ultimate should be to acquire the reward of the akhirat. The barakah of this dunya, obviously, that will come on its own naturally. When we look at Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim in one narration, some ulama say, like how Hassan Basri had explained, that this Quran is a synopsis, and this Quran is its content, its value is greater than all the wahi that had come down. And then whatever is in the Quran is found in Bismillah, and some narrations have it that whatever is found in Surah Al-Fatiha, and whatever is found in Surah Al-Fatiha is found in the ba of Bismillah, that ba, that first letter, the Bismillah, that ba, in that the whole synopsis of the Quran. Now sometimes it becomes mind-boggling when we hear these things, that how is it possible? But just understand, when we sing Bismillah, in that ba, what are we implying? The ulama have expressed that number one, we are implying togetherness. In other words, we are taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and putting it together with whatever work we are doing. So we are taking the name of Allah and we are joining the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the work that we are doing. So that is the one important aspect. Now if we understand the reality of it, that is our whole deen. That whatever we do for the sake of Allah. Whatever we do, we try to come together with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The work that we do, we bring it together with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the barakah, the tabarruk, with the barakah of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there we are acquiring and we're trying to get the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And third is isti'ana, and that is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although in English we'll translate it as in the name of Allah or with the name of Allah, but what is it in actual fact? In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means together with the name of Allah. And it also means with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it means seeking the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then very quickly, the word Allah, we all know, is what is termed as Ismizad. That is the personal name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can never ever be translated in English as God. If we have to, because we are speaking to a non-Muslim audience, then perhaps it may be better for us to use the word Almighty. Because God has plurals, gods. It has diminutive, it godling, it has a feminine goddess, but this word Allah neither has any plural, it neither has any diminutive, it doesn't have any feminine, but Allah is Allah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here shows us two very important qualities of Allah. One is Ar-Rahman and one is Ar-Rahim. Both of them are derived from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the beauty of the Arabic language. Now, if you go into English grammar, actually we will say it is hyperbolic. In other words, it is an exertion, an exaggerated form of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. But in Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah encompasses all things. In this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah encompasses all things, everyone. Even a kafir also is not void or free of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's rahmah is upon him also. He gets his rozi, he gets his sustenance from Allah. Allah ta'ala gives him shifa when he becomes ill, he becomes sick. If he is distressed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance and help also comes to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah encompasses all things and everything. And then ar-Rahim, it denotes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's total rahmah. That when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmah comes down upon someone, then Allah's rahmah has the potential of being complete and total. And that generally, it happens in this dunya also, but generally it happens in the akhirat. That inshallah, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grants a person jannat, then Allah ta'ala's total rahmah is upon that person. There is no pain, there is no grief, there is no sorrow upon that person, and he is upon the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that showers down all the time. Now here also, when we're discussing this, so we won't do it when we do the surah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, in the surah in itself, out of all the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this quality, and just for us to know that the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are divided broadly into two categories. One is those qualities of Allah which the ulama term as the qualities of Jalal, the might and the power of Allah. Allah didn't use that here. And the other are the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Jamal, Allah's beauty, Allah's kindness. And that is what Allah used here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used these two qualities of Allah's mercy, because Allah wants to show us the reciter of the Quran. O insan, I created you because I wanted to cast my mercy upon you. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala didn't create us because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to punish us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted to give us his mercy. He wanted to shower that mercy upon us. That is why Allah ta'ala sent down 124,000 anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down kitab. Allah ta'ala sent down Quran. Allah ta'ala sent our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show us his mercy. So right at the very beginning of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, and this reminder should always stick into our minds, that it is the rahmah, it is the mercy and compassion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show us. Now let us just very quickly go through Surah Al-Fatiha and the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha. The virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha are many. I'll just mention one or two for us to have a very broad understanding of how important the surah is to us. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that this surah had come from a treasure beneath the arsh of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Now one is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Under the arsh, Allah ta'ala kept a treasure. And we will only treasure something that is very valuable. And from there this had come. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sitting with Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, when some sound was heard from above, and then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam indicated to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that a door in the sky has opened that had never opened before. An angel is coming down, and that angel had never come down before. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing upon you and descending upon you two noors, two lights. So this surah is in fact one of those two lights. One is Surah Al-Fatiha and the other are the last ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. And then we find another very important hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses Hazrat Abu Sa'id Al-Mu'alla radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, I was in the masjid, I was performing salat, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me. Now I'll just skip part of the hadith. And then he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me when I completed my salat, that I will show you the greatest surah of the Quran. Abu Sa'id radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held my hand. And when we were close to leaving the masjid, I said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, you were supposed to have shown me the best, or rather the greatest surah of the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Sa'id, that is Surah Al-Fatiha. In one hadith in Muslim Sharif, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has narrated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِسْفَيْنِ. I have divided. Now here in this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is called Surah Al-Fatiha As-Salah. In other words, look at its importance in so far as our namaz is concerned. And I have divided it between me and my servant half-half. Half for me, half for my servant. إِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ When the servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَمِدَنِي عَبْدِي My servant has praised me. Now I just want to pause over here for a little while, and I want you to understand one very important aspect. That when we are reading our namaz, now whether we're reading our namaz here in the masjid, or we're reading our namaz in jamaat, or it is our sunnah and our nafal, whether it is at home, whether we are male, whether we are female, we can be in the haram of Makkah, it can be in the darkness of night, in the light of day. This hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually assuring us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only hears us recite and say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, rather Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala responds. And that is why Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to say that for us that have these issues with our salat, that we suffered a lack of concentration. Sometimes we could have had an argument with someone maybe 2-3 years ago, or maybe sometimes some decades ago, sometimes some centuries ago, but we forgot about it. But we start our namaz, all that comes into our mind. So Hazrat Mufti Sahab rahmatullah alayhi used to say that at that time, just for us to just think that my Allah is responding. And my Allah is saying, Hamidani Abdi. He's not only listening, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this to the malaika. Like sometimes, you know, when a parent, the son is in another country, and that son sends some small gift to the parent. And the gift may be sometimes very insignificant. The parent doesn't even need that. But because of that happiness, the parent says to everyone, my son sent me this gift. That is out of happiness and joy. And this is what this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is conveying. When we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Athna alayya abdi. My servant has celebrated and glorified me. In other words, he is speaking about my purity. And then, Maliki Yawmiddin, Majjadani abdi. My servant is celebrating my majesty. And then Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that half is for me and half is for my servant. Iyyaka na'budu, you alone do we worship, that half is for Allah. Wa Iyyaka nasta'in, and you alone do we seek help, do we ask for help, that half is for my servant. Wa li'abdi ma sa'ala, and for my servant is whatever he asks. That is a guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then from Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim to the very end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hada li'abdi, this part is for my servant, wa li'abdi ma sa'ala, and for my servant is whatever he asks. In other words, so to say, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a blank check. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whatever you ask for, I will grant it to you. So such is the importance of the surah. There are many, many different narrations with regards to the virtue of the surah, but I think this, the important aspect is, in order to gain this concentration, if the realities can come into our hearts and into our minds, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's response is 100% haq, then undoubtedly, we will feel that contact between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we go into the surah in itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the very first words, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Rabb of the entire universe. Now one is to make the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to praise Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The importance of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here the ulama have written that when we praise Allah, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of all praise. Then obviously, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is worthy of ibadat. Allah is worthy of us making the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The importance of hamd, in one hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives one single person all the resources of this world, all the wealth of this world, now we cannot even fathom what is the magnitude of the wealth of this world. It's not only about rands and cents or dollars, but it is about all the gold and the silver, and all the platinum and all the oil of this world. And the words of the hadith is like lock, stock and barrel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives one person. And that one person says Alhamdulillah once. That Alhamdulillah is more valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than all that Allah has given. So in other words, to say Alhamdulillah is more valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than everything. Everything that this world contains, all of it is absolutely nothing, but this one Alhamdulillah is more valuable. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us this very important lesson over here. Now the other aspect is that usually in life we praise different things. We praise different people also. Somebody may see a very beautiful scenery. Sometimes it can be the mountain, sometimes it can be the valley. And whatever we see, we praise and we say how beautiful it is. But in actual fact, all what we are praising, ultimate praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of all this. Now this is where our minds need to go. That it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is worthy of praise, because it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has put qualities that are worthy of praise in the different makhluk and the different creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also draws our attention to the fact that we should never ever forget the ni'mas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. The ni'mas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are abundant. But sometimes, like Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. Certainly man is very unappreciative of Allah. Life is such, we have the good times, we have the bad times. So that is why the ulama have expressed that a person who is unappreciative of Allah is that person that remembers only the difficulties and he forgets the good things that Allah has given. And in everything, in every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us very, very many ni'mats. Then some have explained that sometimes it is such, we become so unappreciative of Allah that we get so engrossed with the ni'mas that Allah has given us, the resources, the bounties that Allah has given us, we often forget the hand that has given us. We forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Alhamdu, Allah ta'ala is reminding us that we should never ever forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not get so engrossed in what Allah has given us. Sometimes we make this claim also that I'm worthy of it because I've worked hard. And we forget that it is Allah that can snatch it away in a second also. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in just Alhamdu, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is reminding us about all these aspects. That when we are saying Alhamdu, we should remember all these great ni'mats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Now one warning, that many of us, when we speak about these ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, often our minds go to the rands and cents. It goes to the monetary values. It goes to, so to say, to put it harshly, it goes to money. But unfortunately, we forget all the other ni'mats. If you look at this beautiful deen of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a family unit, a structure. And that is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Often we forget the parents we have around us. We forget the wives and the spouses we have around us. We forget the beautiful children that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We forget the siblings, the brothers and sisters that Allah has given us. We forget all these are also ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such ni'mats, wallahi, no money can buy. Money cannot buy these beautiful ni'mats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. A man can have everything, but if Allah ta'ala removes all that relationships around us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it away, then obviously that money is absolutely useless. There is never going to be happiness in such a person's life. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala draws our attention. Alhamdulillah is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we'll just translate and we'll conclude. Rabbil Alameen, who is the Rabb of the entire universe. And Rabb actually refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the sustainer, the nourisher, the cherisher of this world. And in actual fact, in real terms, the word Rabb refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brought us from nothingness, from non-existence into existence. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought us into existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nourished us, Allah ta'ala sustained us according to our conditions. In the wombs of our mothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustained us according to that weakness that we were. When we came into this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustained us via the breasts of our mothers. That was Allah saw our condition and Allah ta'ala put our rosy in that. And then slowly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took us off. We were weaned off that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees to us. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sees to us till the day we leave this world. Inshallah we'll continue. May Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.